Keep Rainman Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make all this great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/RaymanDigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it today.
Superman.
My friend, be raised.
Who are you? The lasso of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
All right, everybody. It is that time once again. DC on RMD. I guess this would be the Crisis Edition. We're covering the crossover today. I'm leading this. And with me in the studio today is Nicole.
What up?
Paul.
Hey.
Ryan.
Yo, yo.
Steve.
Yo.
Lauren.
Hi.
So this is our biggest crossover now, too, because we had to plug in a bunch of mics and get this all set up for the biggest crossover event that we've had. Today, we'll be discussing the first part of this, the episodes Supergirl Season 5, Episode 9. Directed by Jesse Warren, written by Robert Rovner and Mark Guggenheim, who I thought was fired but somehow shows up all the time still. Teleplay by Derek Simon and Jay Barber. Batwoman was episode 9 also. Directed by Laura Belsley, written by Don Whitehead, Holly Henderson, Flash Season 6, Episode 9. David McWhirter, Eric Wallace, Lauren Certo, and Sterling Gates helped write. All right. Right off the bat here, let's go around the room real quick. What were your first thoughts of this first part of this, you know, major crossover? Nicole, just real quick.
I really liked all the Easter eggs and throwbacks and just all of it. It was kind of cool.
So you fell in love with the member berries?
Yeah.
All right. Paul?
I mean, the Batman 89/Returns stuff was super cool and hooked me immediately because that was right at the beginning. And then fucking Oliver died. So that's my takeaway.
All right, Ryan.
I enjoyed it. I think there were some real well-placed member berries. But as far as the first half goes, it definitely got me excited going for the next two episodes.
Steve?
Didn't like the first episode. Loved the second episode for all the reasons that Paul said. And the third one's solid as well.
Lauren?
Yeah, the first episode was just like, hey, have some nostalgia stuff while we evacuate this Earth. And, the Earth's gone. Now Oliver's dead, surprisingly. Yeah, it improved from there, but I got some issues.
All right. We'll get to those issues. Guggenheim has been out like on the press circuit going around, and the way they described how the show was put together, that they gathered for a 2-week writing session. And Guggenheim was actually in charge of the overall creative for Crisis. The series had a bunch of, you know, big tentpole things that could happen anytime in the 5 hours of this crossover. And then they kind of pawned it off, like, let's say, to the show writers from those shows to kind of take care of those major moments for those characters. Now, you know, with Supergirl writers handling the Supergirl stuff, Batwoman handling the Batwoman stuff, so on and so on. Now, we talked about those, you know, I think all of us kind of realized that the first episode wasn't the strongest thing there, and 2 and 3 ended up being a lot better. Now, when they break up that writing process like that, for me, I don't think the consistency was there across all those things, or just the writing staffs on some of the other shows are better than others.
That's actually something I wanted to bring up, because I feel like it's writing and a little bit of the directing, because these writers have never written for Barry or, you know, all the other characters that are on the show. So I think that comes across too on like how characters are written on a like Supergirl or whatever, that characters are written a little bit differently because those writers never write for those characters. So I feel like that happens on these, And I think the first episode, you see it quite a bit.
Definitely with the direction. The choreography in the Batwoman scene was the worst combat I have seen from her so far. And it was, you know, her not on her show.
Well, and the funny thing was that you say that Ryan has never seen her actually fight before. Yeah. He hasn't watched it and he thought it was excellent.
I thought it was cool. Like, it's funny because like I don't watch. I haven't started. I am going to watch Batwoman.
I've convinced them that it's not a giant lesbian show.
The thing for me is
that should be a win for him.
That should be a win.
Yeah, honestly.
It is a giant lesbian show, Ryan. Watch it.
In fairness, I think I didn't like her backdoor pilot entrance of her.
Well, it was the wrong kind of backdoor, if you know what I mean.
Oh, Jesus. Out of the costume. But seeing her in this when she's not Batwoman and she's just Kate, I think she's coming to her own. I actually enjoyed it, so I'm going to go back and watch it. But I think for the first episode, what I had a problem with wasn't necessarily, I mean, writing was a huge issue. It's how it was all edited together as a jumbled mess.
It was kind of all over the place.
All over the place.
But yeah, circling back to the fight scene, Paul, I had not watched Batwoman yet. Mm-hmm. So like the only other time I saw her was the crossover last year. So for me, I thought it was cool the way they jump cut some of the fighting. For me, but if again, once I go back and watch it, maybe I'll be able to come back and like circle around. But so far, I agree with you on some of the stuff that I've seen from Ruby is pretty fucking, she's really good. So my opinion will obviously change once I go back and watch the season. But I agree. Some of it with Steve, I agree that it was kind of jumbled.
It was disjointed and all over the place and just like cut. And you're like, what in the hell is going on? All I know is I got Alexander Knox and that was a nice thing.
So
from 89 Batman.
Yeah. We'll get into all these little member berries that were thrown out there, you know, after we get through our break here. But the, I wonder, because again, not all of us watch all the shows. There's a few people in here that have seen every single episode of every single show that it has gone on this season. Now, I don't know, Lauren, do you feel it was necessary to bring up some of the Supergirl issues in this to explain it back to the original people, like the people like Ryan that haven't seen anything?
No. So one thing in particular that, I mean, I don't know, like, cool. Okay. We needed Lena Luthor's help, but like, we didn't need to dive into why she's mad at Alex and
I shouldn't trust Kara. You, that whole thing.
Literally just go to her and say, hey, I know we're not friends right now. I know we're not cool.
Yeah.
But the world is at stake. Can we work together temporarily? Okay.
For me, it was like, I don't care. Like I not in like the way that like I don't care about the situation.
Don't care about the situation. We don't even care about the situation.
Okay, well, it was like, okay, you need her help, so just get her help. Like, I don't need a bunch of exposition on why.
Well,
you
it's
don't
not care. Easy to just get her help because she has such animosity and hatred towards.
Right. So that's
Kara,
like three lines, and then you're done. Like,
I would have rather just not cared about Lena because honestly, after that one little moment in time, we never see her again because gone. Like, I don't care.
I mean, the alternative would have been to just not use her at all.
Right.
Like, okay, great. We don't need her.
Her brother is way more compelling.
Well, right. Her
on every level.
Do you think it's one of those things that, you know, I want to be part of the crossover. Can you get me in this somehow?
Well, or that they felt obligated to make sure that their characters were taken care of and in the crossover.
Jimmy wasn't in it.
Jimmy's not even on the show anymore.
I don't care.
He left.
I don't care.
He's like straight up gone. He's not even in that show.
I get it, but I would rather have Jimmy show up than Lena.
Well, I always just wonder because
me too.
Jimmy's sister was in it, and you know she had the Guardian Shield.
Yeah,
she was in it.
Yeah, she had the Guardian Shield.
He even pointed out
when did that happen?
When they were evacuating the citizens.
Yeah, she used the shield.
I believe
to save
it was
people.
Like a 5-second scene.
That's dumb as hell, and I hate that.
Well, it was
I
just
may have blocked it out.
Well, it's just one of those things where, you know, she the Guardian Shield and she looks at Alex and goes, oh, he left me with some toys or something like that. And it was one of those things where, for me, that this is a brand new character to Supergirl. So this is definitely a brand new character to everybody else that has no clue why this black lady is somehow, you know, running around with the shield and seems very familiar with everything else. And the other weird thing for like the Supergirl side of it is Dreamer hasn't been on a damn episode in like 3 weeks. And then she showed up here. So,
and she I thought for a while there, is she showing up? Because I haven't been watching the last couple episodes, and then she kind of came out of the blue, but was only there for a hot second.
So my question here to everyone that watches Supergirl is, how many people actually live in that city? Because they say they got 3 billion, but I'm pretty sure 3 billion don't live in that city.
Not the city, the planet.
Yeah.
Right. My point is,
they were organizing. They said that they were working with the president to evacuate the planet.
Right.
And they were spearheading the efforts from National City. They were organizing them. Namely getting the ships alien races and taking the ships all over the world.
But the biggest ship was in National City.
Of course, because you saved your own city.
Yeah. Also, think about it's the equivalent of Los Angeles, and there's like 40 million people that live just in California.
Fair enough. Wasn't sure.
So, but
it just threw me off.
But I had a similar issue, not the same, Ryan, in that they kept saying they were going to save people and bring them to a specific Earth from all the other Earths.
Earth one.
Right. So there's a problem with that. We have 7.5 billion on this planet, and we're close to being fucked.
Now we're going
to
bring 3 billion.
So now you're
going
to bring all the Earth's billions. Yeah. We're talking food supply problems. Yeah. We're talking emissions problems.
I like how Steve goes with the logistics of the evacuation plan.
If you jump to episode 3, it's not a problem anymore.
They cleared it up very fast.
So this was always supposed to be like Stephen Amell's swan song. I honestly was more shocked that he died in the first episode so fucking fast. Also, it was ruined to me because a listener tweeted me and said, "Oh my God, I can't believe he died."
Shut up. Can we put them on blast?
No, it's fine.
I'll look it up.
It's one of those. It just upset me a little bit.
I knew
what was going on. And then I was just like, what the fuck? This is supposed to be like his hero's
last
goodbye.
Hurrah.
And so I really, even though I know kind of, you know, after episode 3, we have an idea of where this is actually going, I still don't know if I like where it's going, because I wanted to see him play him, like play Stephen Amell, play Oliver Queen, and not have to sit there and worry about, is he dying? Go to the Lazarus pit and all this other stuff.
I'm pretty disappointed in it. And the reason that I'm disappointed, like you said, Bob, is this was his swan song, right? I wanted to see him be Oliver Queen, the Green Arrow, for 4 episodes and him die at the end.
Yeah.
Making the sacrifice. That's what it should have been. It should have been him being him and leading the team, because he basically is the team's Batman, and just let him be him throughout the whole entire crossover, and then he dies making the sacrifice at the end. That's what it should have been.
He's the origin of this entire like TV universe.
And he dies.
And he dies like a bitch.
Counterpoint, by the end of our third episode, he becomes Spectre.
And I hate that.
Okay.
Fuck you.
So, yeah, okay.
Fuck you.
Okay, this is... there's our little segue there. Tell me how you feel. Because we've been wanting this. We've been wanting this since... we did the Constantine show fucking 3 summers ago or whatever it was. And you've been waiting for this. This is your thing. And when it happened, I was like, I don't know if she's going to like this.
No, I hate it. I don't want Oliver Queen to be the Spectre. I want Jim Corrigan to be the Spectre. I want the Spectre as he is.
You want the Spectre to be the Spectre?
Right. I don't, like, what the fuck? Like,
he was the Spectre. He passed the torch.
I know, but that's not what I want to see on screen. I don't want that for Oliver Queen. I want Oliver Queen to be the Green Arrow, go out as that, however he's going to go out, whether he's going to find a way, like a loophole to keep living or whatever. I just, like, absolutely fuck you. I finally get this character on screen in, like, the actual Arrowverse, and they immediately are just like, no.
Hey, I wanted Robin Hood hat with a cool goatee, and I didn't get what I wanted.
And gay booties.
And booties, pansy green booties.
And like, sure. And it's weird, too, because it's like, we already had Spectre for a short minute in the Constantine show, and that guy was handsome and cool. He was a good Jim Corrigan.
But not the same guy, I'm assuming.
Not the same fucking guy.
Not the one I know.
Yeah.
Not the one. So angry about
it. So were you upset that they recasted him like that? Because,
yeah,
like, again,
because technically that's canon.
Yeah, we've had...
but it's also, like, different... No, it's not different Earth recast, is it?
Because Matt Ryan.
Well, they were in Purgatory, so we don't know where he came from.
Whatever you want in your head, canon.
But, like... like, sure. there's been a couple different Spectres. So, like, he could have not been Jim Corrigan, but he introduced himself as Jim Corrigan.
He did. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, both of them in both shows, didn't they?
So, did you feel like they properly used these characters, you know, with Lucifer and Constantine and...
Lucifer, yes.
Yes, he was awesome, and watch that show, and I thought, like, that split minute...
Did it make you want to go watch the show?
It kind of did
me, too.
He's charming. I want to make a deal.
Oh, I would give him my soul and much more.
Oh,
he's amazing. I love him.
Would you use your throat numbing spray?
I would use my throat numbing spray.
She might have to. I bet you his dick is on fire.
Oh, my God.
For everyone listening, I'm very sick right now.
She doesn't always use throat numbing spray.
I don't always use throat numbing spray. Just when I have to talk for like an hour and I have a sore throat.
Yeah, just again, for it to be Oliver's swan song, for it to just kind of get cut out. I mean, they did have some touching moments with him and like if you guys haven't followed along with Arrow, Mia has been fucking bitchy cheerleader chick for the longest time, and they've slowly like kind of softened her. And so for her to get kind of the suit there, it was just like, I knew kind of almost knew that that shit was going to happen. Like, come on, guys, don't do this so fast. Like, he's going to fucking die. And it just, I wanted to see, again, Oliver to go out on Oliver terms. Now,
yeah,
he's been talking like the whole season so far about how he needs to become something more than the Green Arrow.
He does.
Wondering what that was going to be. So this is kind of cool, but I also, at the end of everything, hate that we have the Spectre and like, we're not going to have him anymore when this crossover is done.
Spectre spinoff.
No,
and Stephen Amell never gets to leave the CW verse because
he's got two other shows going on already.
Yeah, because I think he just got picked up for another one for that Code 8 movie that's coming out on Friday. So the other thing that was kind of weird about this was, you know, when they do these progressions and then like they also kind of retcon something that has come from season one of Legends. Which was they went back to this dystopian Star City 2041 and Oliver had one arm and now Clark and Lois's baby landed there. And now the Legends have somehow managed to not only travel through time, but travel through multiverses. And like, I just never understand why they ended up writing that to retcon something that really didn't need to be talked about.
It didn't even need to be brought up. Like, I mean, I think that's the problem with it is that by doing that now you've added the multiverse to the Legends where now they've traveled through multiverses, which I really don't want. Two, you've made it where you've retconned, like Bob said, you've retconned something that didn't even need to be brought up at all. Like it didn't even need to show up in this. That was a neat cop out because now you could just, what it was. It was a cop
100% cop out. Now, Lauren, as somebody like me and you cover Legends, like, do we really want to involve the multiverse? Isn't from the beginning to the end of time enough shit to cover, whether than having to jump different universes and Earths and everything
past,
else?
Past time and space into the Vanishing Point.
Yeah.
The Vanishing Point is really only something that viewers are going to know about if they watch Legends.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Rip Hunter and the time... Lords and whatever, like that's a Legends thing.
Yeah,
the Vanishing Point is a Legends thing. How did Wells know about that? Yeah. I don't know, whatever. But like, yeah, we don't need to add multiple universes and like parallel Earths and stuff like that onto it. Like, one world's timeline that they're constantly fucking with is enough.
Yeah, for you know, two people that have covered Legends from the beginning, and it's just one of those things like, this has never been brought up. Why are you guys writing this into something right now?
Yeah, like 4 years later. Come on.
Especially when we know that there's Wave Riders on all these Earths, too, that they can go steal from whatever. It just seemed like a weird topic to go through. Now that we kind of see Stephen Amell kind of reject the thought of coming back and going into his body, what do we do with that fucking body that just has no soul?
Well, he's going to have to go back to it because the Spectre needs a human host.
You burn it like Vader.
Well, I mean, the body was destroyed because it didn't go with them to the Vanishing Point. So
is Jeffrey Dahmer in these universes? I'm just
good one, Paul. I didn't even think about that.
It's gone. He got dusted.
Yeah.
Good call.
You're right.
All right. Well, I was wondering if we're just going to have like this absolute wild Oliver running around and them trying to fucking rein him in. Like that would be actually a Legends episode.
So wait a minute. Yeah, right. Did Lucifer get dusted in this?
Well, he was on Earth 666.
Yeah. So yes, everybody's
dusted. That Earth already got dusted.
What about Purgatory?
Well, purgatory, yeah.
Purgatory is a realm.
I know. So. That's why I'm asking. So it still exists.
So Oliver's spirit is still floating around.
Yeah. Purgatory, hell, heaven, they still exist.
So
yeah.
Take everyone who lived and go
so
there.
So can we
that's,
get
I don't think that's a place for the living, episode, bud.
Okay. Can we get Cisco to show up and just like write this out on a whiteboard? Because this is confusing
as
fuck,
and that's the problem.
Right. We need a whiteboard.
Okay, yeah. Now, to be fair, though, like the comics are kind of just a mess of unnecessary crap. So they've actually, surprisingly, they've done a really good job of trimming the comic storyline down into what are the key points that need to happen. You know, characters are kind of interchangeable to a degree, but what are the key things that need to happen along this storyline? So like, even though it still seems a little bit jumbled and convoluted right now for what we have, it's way more streamlined than the comic.
Who's the Asian dude they pulled in, the young guy, the doctor?
Ryan Choi.
He's just some rando, right?
No, he's Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will get on that because, you know, we talk about trimming fat. We have to trim some fat right here because we got to take a break.
Ooh, nice.
And when
segue.
We get back, we'll get into other stuff. So, yeah, we'll be back.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Installed on load-bearing
stuff.
Okay,
did you Wikipedia this?
No.
So you have directions on how to install a sex wing properly.
I know how to install a sex wing, yes.
Have you installed one before?
Was it for you?
No, I did not use it.
You see this in this old house?
Was it for your cat?
Was it for your mom?
It was my anniversary present to my mother and my stepdad.
Jeez, I love holy.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
All right, we are back. Now, another relationship that has kind of been established and was used a lot was the, you know, between Supergirl and Batwoman. Is this going to become the new Barry and Oliver?
I mean, maybe if they end up on the same Earth at the end of all this.
Do you think they have to be on the same Earth for this to happen the way that everybody jumps right now?
Personally, I thought that's where it was going, like with everybody. Black Lightning, Supergirl. I mean, that's why they moved half the population. Like, I thought it made sense and that's what they were going to do. And then, you know,
everything's gone.
And then everything's gone. So they're going to have to bring back at least one Earth. And if they bring back one, like, why not bring back all of them? So, like, just nothing feels I'm almost disappointed, but it feels like it can go any way. It could be great or like just fucking back to how it was.
I personally feel like it needs to, like, they all need to go back. But the knowledge of like Black Lightning needs to still remember that there is a multiverse. It has to go back the way it was. I just feel like if they made it one universe, it would just be weird.
It'd be heroes.
Exactly.
Okay, I can see that.
So it has to go. I feel like it has to go back to what it was with all the different, you know, Earths. But I feel like all the characters need to remember this event.
They need to have more interactions when and where they can, though. And that's one thing that Barry and Ollie had because they lived in the same universe.
The same Earth.
But the tension between Kate and Kara, I like that. It's a healthy tension. It's a sexual tension, and I like it.
What?
Of course you like it.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Wait, you got sexual attention?
What about it was sexual?
There was nothing sexual about that at all.
Steve's like, did you see her fucking kryptonite diaphragm that she's carrying around for her?
Oh, wait,
they don't need that.
I understand,
they do if they
Steve.
Use a
it's
double
a
ender.
Fucking joke.
if they use a double ender, she'll need it.
What?
No.
Also on a serious note.
Yes.
STD protection is still, like, necessary.
I thought this was actually a story.
Are you saying, like, wait, are you saying?
The kryptonite thing.
They were making a joke about
scissoring?
Diaphragm.
About scissoring, yeah.
You wouldn't need it because it's two vaginas, but, like, you should still be safe.
Dental dam. So
to all our listeners maybe thinking about experimenting with the same sex, you should still be safe.
You need kryptonite dental dam.
So,
oh my God.
All right.
This hurts bad.
Jesus.
It's gonna.
So what do we see this relationship kind of, I mean, it grew a lot through these three episodes, and it just seems like, I could see this. I hope they don't end up trying to do some Batman versus Superman type scenario with them, and I think that's what they were teasing there for a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
I think we moved past it.
Yeah, we saw
what happened from a Batman versus Superman. We didn't have to see it overtly. We saw the aftermath.
So, all right, that's going to segue into this. We finally got Bruce Wayne finally appears in the Arrowverse. Paul?
Why, thank you. I mean, I fucking love Kevin Conroy, man, but I don't know, like it wasn't terrible, but one, between the, like, I don't know, the weird voice modulation that he had for no reason in some scenes, because it wasn't always, between that and then the actual voice that he was doing of, like, a semi-decrepit old man, he never really hit Batman voice,
you didn't feel that either.
Okay, I thought I was the only one, and I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't know, but I...
He only sounded like it when he was off camera, which makes me think he makes a weird-ass face when he does the actual Batman.
Yeah, I felt like... Like you said, when he was off camera...
Coming down the stairs at the very beginning.
Like, because in my head, I'm thinking Arkham games, right? I'm thinking that's...
Or, you know, the whole animated
series. Right, but I just like, yeah. Recent stuff, like the Arkham games. So I'm thinking, you know, even in that one scene, I think it's in the second game where you're Bruce Wayne at the beginning of the, and you have to, like, fight your way out. I'm thinking, okay, that's what we're going to get, that voice the whole time. And when he was on screen or you saw his face, it sounded completely different.
I in my mind's eye, I was expecting him to come down the stairs and have this giant chin, and he's talking and looking like Batman.
Digitally put a chin on him?
just make him look like Batman.
Do you think maybe he intentionally played it a little differently than,
he's
like...
Old
well,
and-
he said that he was doing more of the Batman Beyond voice than the Batman the Animated Series voice.
Okay.
But again, I didn't hear that at all.
Because the Batman Beyond voice is just, like, more bitter. It's not a different tone.
It seemed like he was just trying to give a different performance instead of being the same as he was in the past. I think he was just trying to do something different.
You're an actor, have range, but also, like, that's the reason you're on this.
Yes.
You were cast
to bring me Batman.
To have the Batman voice.
Didn't bother me as much.
I'm with you, Paul.
Thanks.
So I thought it was, again, I was super excited about seeing it because this is, you know, the Batman in the animated series is one of, like, the major reasons, like, I am the Batman nut that I am. But the fact was, like, I honestly found his performance very disappointing. It was weird for me that they turned him into this bitter, angry Bruce Wayne. When I think, if you guys remember, when the Batman versus Superman came out, he was against a violent type Batman. And yet they cast him as this dude that fucking killed everybody.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just, like, a weird spin on it. And I wanted him to be, like, a bigger, I don't know, piece of it, not so just angry.
He might have been okay with it because it was like a what if, like, other unimportant world rather than the Batman.
And I actually appreciated it because it felt like like you said, Lauren, what if Batman dealt with it for so long and it just ate away at him for so long that he became the very thing that he despised? To me, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I mean, how much
interesting too.
how much is he even hiding it at this point? Like that he is Batman?
Because, oh, he does not care.
Well, yeah. He's got all the trophies just right in display in like the Wayne Manor living room.
Like it's like still it's, blood well, on the Superman goes, glasses.
Dude, he goes full on nut job, and well, the, you see it physically. To your point, Paul, you see the trophies. He's down the rabbit hole.
I feel like. Why fucking hide it anyways? You're fucking Batman and he killed everyone. So there's no need
anymore, right? Like he's fully retired because he doesn't move too good. He's fully retired,
right. He's wearing an exoskeleton.
And he's got Thug Luke with his abs fully on display protecting his house.
Do you think they did that? Like he's like, man, I was working out to be Batwing this whole time and I don't know when I'm going to actually do this.
I've been doing a lot of laundry on these abs.
Yeah. Again, if you guys don't follow Batwoman, Luke Fox is on Batwoman, and he's like this nerdy kind of Felicity, Mr. Terrific type
character.
He's a
dude who's always wearing a button-up and a jacket.
Yes.
And glasses.
So, like, the fact that there's a body under there is a revelation to us all.
Yes.
All of us.
So there's a lot of people
that
could be like
that. Explain that whole moment right there.
Like, who else?
It's not you.
Not me.
Oh. I have a body underneath my shirt.
Maybe it's a
it's a body.
Maybe it's a little hint that, you know, he does work out on every earth.
He's capable of physical interactions
and
with villain.
Perhaps there will be Batwing in our future.
I mean, that's what I got out of it, right? Like, why show this off? Unless,
what's the point? Yeah.
I mean, I assumed Batwing was at some point in the future, as long as Batwoman doesn't get canceled the moment Luke showed up on the show.
All right. Well,
that's very
hey, Luke.
Here he is. He's going to end up with something. So any kind of I want to say it was kind of cool to show Kate confront Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way it played out, it made her look like a very strong character for those who probably haven't had the experience that, you know, of us that have been following the show for the first 8 episodes have seen from her. But it was just the way that Bruce Wayne came off. I mean, they've mentioned it for so long. It was just like a weird turn for me. Again, I understood what they were doing with it. And, bottom line is I just wanted more Bruce Wayne Batman voice from cartoons and I didn't get it.
Do you think they'll bring Kevin back if we ever get Bruce back on Batwoman?
I see.
She seemed I couldn't tell if she recognized him or if she was surprised that was Bruce. I couldn't tell.
It seemed like she didn't recognize him. Yeah, he definitely recognized her.
That's the vibe that I got from was that she didn't recognize him, but then later in the crossover Supergirl gave her the picture of her and
her sister.
So obviously in that universe, her face is that.
Yeah.
So, but I think in my mind, Kate did not recognize Bruce. And that's why I think if you do get it on Batwoman, it'll be a completely different Bruce.
A handsome younger man.
Yes.
I just can't tell.
Is that an issue that we're running into when we keep jumping all these multiverses that Barry Allen looks like this here, Barry Allen looks like this here. Look at all the different Lexes. And then they kind of, explained it in that weird Smallville scene of like, well, the time does stuff and the universes does stuff to people, but we're always drawn together.
Some universes are more connected, especially when you're reading things like the comic for Crisis on Infinite Earths. They talk about how Earths 1 and 2 are more closely tied together. Their destinies are tied together. Their timelines are like minutes apart. And there's a lot of similarities between them, more so than the other Earths. So that's just what I chalk it up to.
I think my headcanon was always that it differs depending on the universe. And like Lauren said, if they're closely intertwined with each other, and this goes for anything in any multiverse situation, you always see, like, I'm going to use Spider-Verse as an example. All those characters they're Spider-Man, but they're completely like, there's a fucking pig. So like I look at it as they're still the same character and it's just a different universe. So
yeah, I'm okay with it.
Like my headcanon makes it okay.
Some little butterfly effect thing happened along the way,
right,
and it changed the chain of events. So now Barry Allen looks like his dad instead of him.
Right.
Yeah.
We can blame Ashton Kutcher.
If Brandon Routh can play two different heroes with two different, secret identities, then like, I don't need Barry Allen to look the same in every universe.
No, but you know what I did need that I didn't get? I didn't get a Swamp Thing. I was bummed.
It's
about
not
that.
Over yet, but
there's still two episodes left. Calm down.
So well,
that universe is gone, guys.
Well, whatever.
Canceled.
It's over. Yeah.
That's so why it's no over like that show.
So another thing that we've been promised, I mean, basically since the Flash has come on the air, is Barry's going to vanish. Now, we've seen that date change. We've seen different things on this change. And a Barry was sacrificed, but it wasn't the Barry Allen that we know and love. It was 1990 Barry Allen. You know, I don't know how I feel about that because it just seemed like it's such a another strange cop out for
me. Yeah, it was kind of a cop out. I did appreciate them showing the clip.
It was too easy.
Yeah. I hate it. I'm like, this is one of the things that I have
right up.
I have really mixed feelings about this whole crossover so far because there are some really strong positives, like the way that they like didn't overload it with more than there needed to be for such a large kind of messy story from the comics.
Yep. Mm.
They kind of trimmed it up. That was like nice and streamlined. They got the important parts in there, but then they have all of this bullshit where like, it's cheap. There's no consequences for anything. And yep. I feel like it's bad, cheap writing. Nothing has an impact because okay, Oliver's dead, but guess what? He's going to come back somehow.
Cool. I actually 100% agree with Lauren on this because I feel like they've chopped things out that needed to be chopped out and everything is streamlined. I've definitely been okay with the pacing of all three episodes, even the first one. But I felt like you've taken away – Flash is supposed to vanish.
Yeah.
Like, this is something we've been looking for yes. freaking six seasons.
Six seasons of Flash. Like we've been literally covering this show since it started and we know about this from season one and they cop out with a different Barry Allen.
This newspaper has been looming over the show forever.
Yeah. We need the seven paragons to fight the Anti-Monitor though, right? Yeah. So we could still lose anybody in the actual battle.
We could. And
I hope we do.
I appreciated that we got a clip from the 90s. That was a nice touch.
That was cool. But
I feel like we should have lost our Barry proper, and then somehow down the road, the Barry that we ended up losing should have gone back in time or something
right.
to write the course.
Part of me,
one of the various explanations in the comics post-crisis
part of me
for
wants,
when he comes back.
Part of me wants to use the headcanon of... In Flash, we know that the Reverse Flash sped up the process of Barry Allen becoming Flash in Flash. So part of me wants to chop that up as why our Barry Allen didn't disappear. But at the same time, I can't deny the newspaper that, like Bob said, has been looming over us for six fucking seasons.
And the daughter that came back in time that grew up without a dad.
Exactly. And I think the other thing, that whole scene is a cop-out because...
It was a way to get John Wesley Shipp off the fucking show permanently.
Not only that, but it also brought Vibe back, which I think is the dumbest shit on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Agreed.
I'm sorry, but I am so upset about this.
We had regular good old Cisco back that we've wanted, and now
we bitched and moaned about this on the last couple episodes
because
of Flash.
Because they
fucking teased it in our face. And then, I don't know if anyone remembers, but he was supposed to be gone. Yeah, he was supposed to be fucking gone off the show.
This was our chance to dust him for good.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But he came back and I think us that's on Flash, we made peace with that because, hey, we got Cisco back, right?
Yeah.
We got the regular old Cisco back. And then they're like, just kidding. And then the Monitor basically power rapes him. I stole that joke from Bob.
Against his will
and made him Vibe again. Like it's dumb and it's a bullshit cop out to bring Vibe back because now he doesn't want to go do Broadway. I'm sorry, but it just
didn't make it on Broadway.
I was trying to be nice.
So yeah, everybody missed the air quotes.
It's hard to want to do something when they don't want you to do it.
Oh, he's a great singer though.
I just have a problem with this because we all know what happened. Like as fans, we know.
Yeah, they wrote him off last season.
We saw it all the articles. You know, we're not.
He's going to Broadway. Yeah. He's going to go do this. Going to go do that.
We're not fucking stupid.
Showed up at San Diego.
Exactly. We're not stupid. We're not casual fans. Like, and I almost feel like it's a slap in our face by doing this. And I personally think it's stupid. I would have rather just kept regular old Cisco.
Yeah.
But that whole scene with Barry and Cisco and Kate or Killer Frost and 90s Barry was fucking stupid. I'm sorry. The only cool part about that, and this is because I don't watch the show, but Black Lightning. was the best part about that.
It was weird for me.
He's a good actor, too.
He really is.
Yeah. He really is.
He's a great actor.
I think we see the difference between people that have been acting for a living and the people that have been acting for a living on the CW.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. But that's the thing, Bob. You're not fucking wrong.
No, I mean, because you look at Ruby Rose, you look at Chris Williams? What's his last name? I don't know. Black Lightning. Lex Luthor.
Christ? Yes. Is this the body of Christ?
Jefferson Christ.
But the thing is, like, I can even make an argument with that for, like, Supernatural when they brought Jeffrey Dean Morgan back. He is a fucking actor.
Yeah.
Like, and then you get other, like, it's just, I feel like the CW, and Mike has brought this up a lot. They pull from their, like, stock of actors.
It's a cattle out there in Vancouver.
Ryan Choi?
I just watched something the other day that confirmed that, like, once you're in
Vancouver,
Hallmark Christmas movies and you're on the CW.
Yeah. Once you're in the CW talent pool, they will keep drawing on you. Once you're in, and they will continue to use you.
Like I guarantee the reason that Osric Chow got the Ryan Choi job is because he was on Supernatural forever. He basically is in Vancouver almost every week, and I think he probably lives there now.
Well,
and they're like, hey, we need an Asian actor. Oh, Osric Chow. Well, fuck, there he is. I mean,
and like, that's really cool for the actors. That's a lot of guaranteed work.
Guaranteed work, yeah.
And it's not like they're terrible. But yeah, like, they're never really elevating.
So I don't know if you guys have watched the Stargirl trailer, because they're going to bring her in on this crossover too.
Absolutely,
I don't know if you know that.
Not.
Are they really? Oh, really?
But if you'll see, the narrator of this is Luke Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Wilson is in one episode. Do you want to guess why he's only in one episode?
Because
they moved it to the CW. Yeah. I cannot confirm or deny that, but I could almost believe that a Hollywood actor is like, I don't know.
Lauren and I were correct. Talking about that on the way here. I was
literally
like,
on the drive
Luke
here.
Wilson's in this show.
Owen Wilson's brother?
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and I was like, there's no way. Like, there's even, and depending on how much of this show was done before they decided to move it to the CW, however much of that they did for DC Universe, it's probably actually going to be pretty solid. And then as soon as you hit that switch to the CW, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Luke Wilson absolutely is probably like, nah.
I don't know. I know nothing about Stargirl. Like, I legit know nothing about her. Same. So, like, for me, I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah,
another
show. She's fine. It could be cool or it could suck. And it all depends on the team making it.
But again, I'm just trying to compare. You know, I'm doing the comparison there of what Hollywood actors are versus the Vancouver cattlecade.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Now, one of the big things that had been promoted throughout this was, we're getting all the Supermans. All the Supermans. They're digging up dead ones and putting them on sticks.
I haven't seen Henry Cavill yet, though.
Yeah, well, they'll show his body and not his head.
Yeah.
Lex has
a Shazam joke.
Yes, it was.
It was a very, very well done Shazam joke.
Lex is introduced here. Now, for those who haven't watched Supergirl, like, I know, Ryan, you brought this up. How do you think Lex is portrayed? Because you have not seen this before.
So I have not seen Lex at all. I know nothing about it. I know who Lex, but I'm saying, like, I know nothing about him in the show. So the first episode, when they showed the clip of him in the Lexo suit, I was like, whoa, that's really fucking cool. I was like, that's actually really well done. Awesome. Because he even says it in the episode, every superhero has their one villain. And obviously Lex is Superman's one villain. You know, Batman is the Joker or whatever. So I'm not going to lie, John Cryer's pretty fucking legit as Lex.
Yeah.
Right.
And everyone knows that I am not a Superman fan on any realm of whatever.
On any universe.
Yes. But he is really fucking good. And I think it's interesting to me, because I know we had this conversation, and I don't remember what show it was. Maybe it was the last crossover, when they mentioned that John Cryer was going to be Lex. We were all kind of on the fence on, like, oh my God, that guy. But I am not going to lie, I think he's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I was really surprised.
Yeah. We were very skeptical.
Extremely.
And then as soon as we actually saw him in action as Lex, all of us were like,
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how did you guys feel about Lex?
I was not skeptical.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
I was not skeptical. He's a fantastic actor.
And that's the thing is, like, yes. I think my exact quote from his debut on the Supergirl show was, they paid this man $1 million an episode for a fucking reason. It wasn't because of Charlie Sheen.
I definitely was really, really surprised by this, by how good he is. And I think it goes back to like, you know, being a professional actor.
Pull from the cattlecade or pull from Hollywood.
Well, and he's also a theater actor as well. Like,
so,
and that's what you need for a Lex.
Yeah.
Lex is such an intricate character, and you've had so many awesome portrayals like Gene Hackman. And I just,
it just stopped.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman.
Yeah, well, it's just Gene Hackman.
No, we had Jesse Eisenberg. Come on.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because we want Asperger's ADD Lex.
He's been done a while. This is really good. I know I don't give Supergirl or Superman or anything super much praise, but I'll tell you this. They nailed Lex Luthor, and so far on Titans, Connor's pretty fucking awesome. So
Superboy is always awesome.
Yeah, so I'm on board. I think Lex is pretty fucking sick.
The other kind of big thing that came out of this was Roth putting the panties back on.
Dude, he looks so good.
He is. Like, and I don't know how everybody else feels, but I watched him put on that suit. And when those stills came out, I felt completely bad for, like, 25-year-old him who got fucked by Hollywood because they didn't like what the fuck was put out in Superman Lives. Because you watch this man age and he still pulls off the character and you're like, what the fuck could they have been doing with him in the movies today?
Literally still looks like Superman.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. There's one scene where Lex turns him and he's kind of like doing the superhero pose and he looks up. And he's got the curl, mm-hmm. and I swear to Christ, he looks as Superman gets.
They did that on purpose. Yes. They 100% did that shot on purpose.
Dude, it is so fucking good.
The moment that Lois, in the scene where Lois is trying to convince him and whatnot, it was when they first meet.
They bump into each other, and she's like... Starstruck.
Yeah, and I turned to Nicole because I was squeeing over the fact that literally because they were playing the Lois theme, the John mm-hmm. Williams score, and it was so beautifully done. Like I was just I was over the moon.
Want you guys? I don't know if you guys know this, but Ralph actually like hit the gym and got yoked for this. There's actually videos of him.
Yeah.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, he was working out.
Like, obviously, the abs and stuff are probably a little bit of a muscle suit, but his arms, that's legit. Like, he got fucking yoked for this.
Oh, you said Ralph. I thought you said Ralph, and I'm like, didn't he?
No, Brandon. Yeah, I thought you said Ralph.
It come out like Ralph, but I got what you meant.
He's already so tall. Like, I just remember seeing him in person, and he's a large man already. You had muscle on that, and like...
Beefcake.
Dude, the suit is so perfect. And like you said, his face is Superman. It's funny because him playing Ray Palmer.
He's Ray Palmer.
Like, but it's just with his face and when they put the curl and the gray streak in his hair, he's fucking Superman. And it's like, it's so well done. It's so well done. I wanted to see more of him on the screen. And again, absolutely. I'm the most anti-Superman dude in this room. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
He's also just so good. Brandon Routh is a great actor. He's so good. He just commits so hard to each character that he's playing.
And he has a charm about him as Adam, but the charm that he has as Clark and even as Superman, I love Superman Returns. I don't understand the hate. Like the guy to me, Superman has that boyish charm, and he pulled it off. And same with what's his nuts that from Smallville? What's his name? Tom Welling.
Tom Welling. I was like, you said, what's his nuts?
Giant beefcake.
Right. Well, so, like, he also had all three of them.
Who is also
been cast,
in Lucifer, by
they,
the way?
They all have that boyish charm to them. And
hey,
then,
guys, fine, we'll watch it.
And that honesty and goodness. And it comes through as they emote and evoke the character. It's.
So is it me or is Tyler third on this list?
Yeah, sorry.
He's 100% third on this list.
He's not a bad Superman by any means.
He's just not, you know, as good as the other ones.
Not as big.
You bring in the legends. Yeah.
I mean, he's still a good Superman.
He also hasn't had as much time to grow the character, to be totally honest. It's not like he has his show at the time of us recording this.
And at the time of this recording this, I would rather have Brandon Routh play Superman in the Superman show.
Sorry, Tyler.
Yeah, I think Lois would be okay with it.
It doesn't matter.
Which way is she looking? Which way is she looking?
Yeah, Lois could be on top of one Superman.
She's looking at both Supermans at the same time.
He is so big, both eyes are still on him.
Well, what was even funny is Kara, when she first ran into him, she didn't
We're not cousins.
Right. Her super panties got wet looking at him, and it was whoa.
Oh my God,
is
Clark.
It incest if you fuck somebody that doesn't look like your cousin from a different universe?
It's not even your cousin.
It's not your cousin, right? It's a different universe.
I don't know. I don't know the rules of this. I always said it's not incest or it's not bad as long as you don't get her pregnant.
You should still probably do a DNA test.
I don't think that's how that works at all.
I like where Bob's mind's at on this one.
Brian must have a hot cousin. He's like, I'm fucking my cousin.
Wait, but the thing is, like,
DNA test. You make sure there's no stuff.
Oh, so if I like Ryan's out buying his cousin and him a me and 23 test, like how but close are we?
It's a different universe. Like, we just had the conversation that different people look different on us. Technically, they could be my cousin, but they don't look like my cousin.
No.
I could fuck my cousin.
It
might not look like your cousin and be your cousin.
I thought you were just trying to DNA test your cousin on this universe to get a pass.
I was DNA testing the one on a different universe.
Oh, okay. Just to be clear.
Just to let you know, they're usually on sale around holiday time.
Yeah, they are. That's true.
So one of like the bigger CGI scenes where was the fights between the supers.
Yikes.
That good there, Steve?
No, it was a yikes. There was a couple of shots in particular where the third Tyler Superman, where he was on the Daily Planet.
I like how we have him ranked for real now. Who's first? Is it Brandon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bronze Superman, if you will.
Yeah, the bronze Age Superman.
No, just bronze.
Okay, bronze.
Bronze medal.
Was standing on the Daily Planet globe, and there was a shot, and you could see the CGA face of him like making this grimace as he took off towards our favorite Superman, and it was not good.
See, I disagree, and here's why. I disagree because when we see a lot of CG stuff on these shows.
Yeah.
Not lately because they saved the budget for this.
Yeah, right.
Clearly.
When we see a lot of CG stuff on the shows, it's always in nighttime.
I really like the political answers, by the way.
Because I have to because Steve's such an anal asshole.
Asshole.
Is that like a double negative?
It is.
It might be a double A, yes. So
a double anal, is that what you said?
Yeah, you like double anal.
DVDA.
Oh my goodness.
So when we see most CG scenes on any of these shows, it's always at night to cover up imperfections. Yeah. They clearly did this shot during the day because they're flying around during the day.
Yeah.
If we're going to rank this as far as CG shots go, a during the day shot, this is probably one of the better during the day shots we've ever gotten. Because some of them look like straight dog shit.
You know what? Ryan's got a point. And
are you shitting me?
I like how it's a debate show now and Ryan's convincing.
Yeah. No. Like Ryan's first one to shit on it just for like, you know, the fun of it.
About the shots we've gotten on Flash, on Arrow.
I think Flash is garbage.
On Legends.
Yeah. During the day, these CG shots suck asshole. And this one actually looked fairly good for being a day shot.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we get, like Bob said, they've been saving the budget and using practical effects lately. And I mean, shit, on one of the recent Flashes, they did a fucking monster. And I don't know where the budget came for that. So
it looked amazing, did it not?
Thank you. So, but
for all 10 but it was seconds.
Yeah, I know.
But it was a night shot.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Again,
we got Gorilla Grodd during the day.
Right.
Yeah, but that was developed over like 5 years.
Yes.
They saved money for 5 years.
No, but it was developed over 5 years. Okay.
So, I mean, you have to look at this shot and look at it for what it is. And I think this is the first time we've ever had Superman fighting each other on fucking screen. Well, even last crossover, he flew around a little bit, but didn't fight anybody.
In Supergirl, there's definitely some aerial combat.
Right.
And this was, I would say, no better, no worse than aerial stuff that we see on Supergirl.
I mean, I'd have to agree. It's about the same.
Yeah, there's a couple shots where it's clearly practical effect with them, like, you know, in the wire harness,
right.
Which I thought was okay. Like, I mean,
I'm okay with that, too. There was just a couple of clear clear shots of that fight.
Okay,
that
was let me ask you about like when we watched Flash.
Ryan's so combative about it now.
I am because I've Flash has been horrible.
You have and to I'm agree using with it, my opinion. Yeah,
like it has. It has been horrible. And there's like been a couple shots on Flash that were fucking dog shit compared to this.
I'm not debating that. I'm just looking at this shot and this scene, what it is.
Yes, you got to remember, you know, when we do these reviews and rates, it's anything that takes us out of the moment. And it took Steve out of that moment.
It took me out of the moment. Now you're taking me out of the moment.
Steve lost his boner.
Steve sounded so sad just now. Took me out of the moment.
I was all high on Brandon Routh and his sexy bod, and you fucked it all up.
You brought it down yourself. You brought it up.
Hey.
It's okay. It's okay. I promise. Now, was it okay that they used so many goddamn member berries in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was fine with it.
Yep.
Paul, you're okay?
Yes. There was even a Birds of Prey one. And who the fuck remembers anything from that show?
It was bad. I think that's what everyone remembers.
Yeah, but even though I didn't like that show, I still
absolutely jazzed to see it.
Yeah. Yes. I was still excited that CW was throwing back to one of their old DC shows.
That someone didn't forget that dog shit.
Like I said earlier.
What's on the seed?
At least Oracle existed in that Birds of Prey.
I did not expect at all.
You said Overwatch with a weird accent.
You did. I did not expect at all to get Alexander Knox. I didn't even see any leaks on that. Maybe
they
that the Burton verse was going to be part of
but
this.
But I didn't know in what capacity. So for that pop up for me, that's my Batman.
Obviously, they didn't get clearance for the Michael Keaton newspaper to leak or to go out there,
right?
Because that was the original thing was him holding Wayne marries Kyle.
Oh yeah, instead of like the weird comic art newspaper that he had.
Yeah. So I don't know if I dig it as much as everybody else, and you guys can all fucking hate on me in a minute.
Go ahead, Ryan.
It's perfectly fine. I can turn off your microphone.
Fuck.
No.
I just hate on Steve because it's Steve.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Ryan could 100% agree with it, but doesn't agree with Steve.
I can come up with an angle that's against Steve. It's just how it is.
But a lot of the member berries that were out there, I just wasn't really sure. Like, when you start jumping to Earth and then you kind of tie in the fact that whatever Earth they're jumping to is the year that the show was on or the show started, I was like, okay, I know exactly what I'm getting here. The only one that I was like perfectly fine with was like the linking to Smallville because it actually had something to do with the story. The rest of them of having, Burt Ward with his dog sitting
that
there.
That I didn't like. I like Burt that he got a scene, but I'm with you on that one, Bob.
It was just like, things like that just didn't work out for me. And again, that's just my personal preference. And I'm kind of glad that like, even when you start linking, they're teased this whole time that Titans, the Berlantiverse is the bigger universe of it all. Because if you guys don't know, Berlanti is the one that does basically every DCU show, every CW show. Mm-hmm. All I was waiting for was a fucking a cameo from the guy from You watching somebody through a fucking window, to get all the Berlanti shows in this. But the fact was that a lot of it was just like, okay, if they're not integral to the story, do I really need to see them? Okay, I understand the fact that we are linking all these universes together, but like the showing the B-roll footage of Titans for no fucking apparent reason, it just some of that stuff I was just like, all right, can we get my story going? And again, I'm okay with it just because it was such a small piece, but it wasn't something that I needed. It was just like a feel-good thing. And that's what I wanted to try to avoid. And when the shows kind of started off with the 66 and the 89 thing, what I was worried about was I don't want to do this all the time to where they're jumping Earth to Earth. And it's just like, remember me back in 1982, I played so-and-so on so-and-so.
Yeah, I thought it was a tasteful amount of that. I thought it was like sprinkled in like towards the, I don't know, like the beginnings of each episode.
I read actually like way a long time ago when they were kind of putting all this together that there was supposed to be just like this Titan stuff, that there were supposed to be just real quick little pieces of footage from Wonder Woman and Aquaman too, and that has not happened and probably won't.
Are we talking movies or like the TV show?
No, like the movies.
That's a big miss. The fact that besides the movie, we didn't get a Linda Carter Wonder Woman wink Now that I think about
it. Now that all Earths are gone, I don't think we're going to get any more Winks.
I mean, we could get a bunch more Winks at the end when everything gets brought
back. Oh, they all appear and it's just like, oh, look, here, I'm back. So I definitely could see that happening.
Or what's his name? From Lois and Clark. We didn't.
Dean Cain?
Dean Cain. Yeah.
I really wanted, like, honestly, I wanted a scene where all the Supermen were just, like, fucking staring at each other.
Also, though, something to keep in mind is, like, Linda Carter's been on Supergirl. So
yeah,
I know. That's not going to happen as a Wonder Woman thing.
I was surprised on how well I bought
off. An old piece of footage.
Yeah, true. Just like they did with the 90s.
She was the president. She was the president of the United States.
Like, as Linda Carter?
No. As a character and then turned out to be.
As an alien.
An alien. And so she got impeached.
Who only had Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, streamed to her planet, so she came over. And as that, no. but so what do you guys want now we finish these three? There's been so much speculation going on, and we've seen so much, so many different things happen. Is there, like, one big thing that you want to see in these last two episodes, Nicole?
I would definitely love to have no more cop-outs, because technically we had two.
So you just wanted to play straightforward.
Yeah, like, if you're going to get rid of any of your characters, get rid of the character. Don't have them die and then have them come back and then have them die again. Or be like, we tease this forever.
Yeah, the Steven.
And then don't.
I'm really over that that formula. I agree with you.
Yeah, because now I don't trust anything.
True.
Because it's happened twice.
And that Stephen Amell thing is kind of weird. It was very weird. I'm very uncomfortable with how these last two episodes and the last two episodes of Arrow are going to play out because of this whole Spectre thing. Paul, what do you got? What do you want?
Honestly, I don't know. Most of my wants are like hindsight stuff. So it's they're irrelevant. They're not going to happen.
Who the fuck knows?
So the Barry thing. Last time we saw Reverse Flash, he said, see you next crisis. So I thought he was going to go trick Eobard into jumping on the treadmill. I don't know. there's still something with him. And with the Kevin Conroy stuff, the whole like Bat of the Future thing, I'm really bummed that we didn't have Old Man Bruce with like Wilfred L in his house instead of Luke.
So you thought you were going to see something like
it sparked something in you. Yeah.
Okay.
And it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
So as far as what's going to happen and what I want, just, I don't know, this to be entertaining because that's the best these shows can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ryan?
I agree with most of what everyone said. I think for me, when I think crossover, I think full on ramped up 100 miles and 0 to 100 really, really super fast. And as far as the member berries go, I'm 50-50. Some of them are cool. Some of them, I just rolled my eyes like, that didn't need to be in it. Like, it's funny and it's cheesy, but we're trying to do something serious here with the monitor and the anti-monitor. And it just felt like it was just chucked in there for everyone to giggle like a schoolgirl. So 50% of it.
That was fucking half of Endgame.
Yeah, 100% accurate. So I feel like so far I'm okay with this. But the next two episodes have to be ramped up. I have to see full blown, like, the fight scene better just knock my dick off my body. Like, that's how good it better be, because I feel like right now we've just slowly worked our way through three episodes, and now the next two have to be amazing.
So that's where I was going to go with it too, Ryan. Like, I appreciated that one homage shot that we got was Kara holding Brandon Superman,
right,
which was straight off the cover,
just reversed. Yeah,
and so that was because there's no way she's gonna hold him up if he wasn't laying down, let's be honest. He's a big dude. But that being said,
they could use wires. They should have gone for it.
Okay, but they didn't. There's no gravity. It doesn't feel, even though we've lost every Earth but one, I don't feel any gravity to the situation. And because nobody went to battle. There was no fight. There was no blood, sweat, and tears.
You want the Avengers and like assemble scene.
No, I want everybody to be walking around beaten. Okay. Like I want them to physically be beaten down. They didn't
fight. It felt like there was no consequences. You literally lost how many universes and how many Earths, and it never
floated around on a starship and talked a bunch.
The only fight so far was against like the space ghosts who die with like a punch or an arrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That was a really cheesy scene. I didn't bring that up, but
I mean, there was.
I try to leave those things out sometimes.
Yeah, good job.
That's the only like combat that's happened,
yeah. Right?
And then the Hyrukin scene.
Yeah, Hyrukin.
So for me, that's the miss. It's a crisis. I look at the comic covers.
You don't feel like there's a crisis going on.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with Steve.
I feel like there's a writer's crisis. I feel like there's a continuity crisis. I feel like there's a lot of crises, but none of them are related to the crises that they're supposed to be dealing with.
I agree. I never felt like there was any weight, and we lost a bajillion souls. And, you know,
you just feel like they're coming back matter what.
Yeah. There's nothing. There's no impact. There's no gravity. There's nothing. At first, it felt like, oh, shit, Kara's world is gone. That universe is gone. She just lost her mom. She managed to still have her cousin and his wife. And that's cool. But her mom and the last little bit of Krypton that was there is gone. And that first impact was like, oh, that sucks. Yeah. You feel it because it feels like there's consequences there. There's an impact there.
The urgency, evacuating the people.
Right.
Wait a minute.
And then.
Go ahead. I just had a thought. Go ahead.
Okay.
Just one.
And then you keep going and you realize that every single thing that's happening, every single thing that we've been building up towards, everything that's going on, it just, there's no consequences for anything. You know, everyone that's dying, oh, it's fine. They're going to come back. It's totally cool. And guess what? We, like, Kara, don't worry about saving your Earth because now Earth 1 is gone too. So we're going to have to figure out how to bring at least that back. So we'll probably just bring back all the Earths. Like, there's no gravity to anything.
Yep.
It's cheap. It's bad writing.
Yep.
And you need to feel something.
I didn't until just now. I felt the fact that they made such a big deal of them sending off Jonathan and the baby and Mick disappeared. They were on that ship the whole goddamn time, and Mick was taking
Mick
care
was
of the
there
baby.
To be a babysitter.
And the where did they go? Where's the
baby?
Doesn't
matter. The ship's gone.
Do you think he's gonna take on the role of the baby in Infinite Crisis? Do you think he's gonna grow real fast?
I don't know, but
there's no point. There's like no point for him to do that.
There was your gravity, a baby. Everyone, even me, who doesn't want kids or can't really stand them. There was a baby.
Even me, the guy who hates the way they smell and everything that they do.
Babies, but even I don't want him to die.
I don't want to see a baby die.
They put the baby in the ship and they blasted it off, and somehow that little ship was faster than the impossible speed of the.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. That's accurate with the comic, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shot down.
Perfect. Well, I mean,
fun fact of the day.
I don't know. Canon, why didn't they put everybody on those ships?
Because there was only one.
They had one.
They specifically say there is only one.
Only build one ship
so you can
that
do
is
the,
faster than impossibly
so you could
fast.
Do the exact dialogue from Superman, the movie, when you send off your kid.
Yep.
Did you guys know that?
I didn't.
That was that speech.
Was that word for word?
Word for word, the exact dialogue that Marlon Brando gave.
I think they could have all crammed their asses in there. It would have been tight, but they could have all gotten that pod.
They could have at least put Supergirl's mom in there with the baby.
Whose mom?
Supergirl's.
It's not important.
Well, how's she going to play in Smallville?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'd rather she'd be better than. Chick.
Walleye?
Yeah, Walleye.
Walleye.
Walleye Lois.
So, I am still waiting for Diggle to get a goddamn lantern ring.
Oh, dude, I thought.
Yeah, because they talked about that.
Yeah.
Like,
he talked
he's
about
gotta
that.
He's got to get it in the Arrow portion of this fucking crossover.
That is the only thing that I want out of this, because they fucking teased Green Lantern
There was an interview
seasons.
Where he talked about playing,
yeah,
like for like what he's done filming for this.
Yeah, I almost feel like he has to get that ring at some point.
So he finds out that he actually isn't John Diggle, he is John Stewart.
Right.
John Stewart Diggle.
Okay. Yeah, it's his middle name.
His middle name is Stuart?
Yep.
I don't know.
Well, no, it is. It, no, his stepdad's name was Stuart.
Yeah.
I knew it had something to do with that. Yeah, his stepdad is Stuart. So he never took
it. And he accepted him as his father finally. Yes. So.
But he didn't take his last name. His last name was Stuart or his first name?
His last name
was
Stuart.
Well, first of all, look, I don't General give Stuart. A shit if he did take his dad's That's last cool. name. I'm still going to call motherfucker Diggle. So, because then it just ruins all our fucking jokes.
Because Ryan thinks all like black people don't have dads anyways.
Well, they go to get cigarettes and they never come back.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
And lottery tickets. Scratchers.
And 40s.
Scratchy lotteries.
Look, stereotypes are there for a reason, guys. All right? Sorry.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll give more final thoughts on people leaving their kids.
Keep Rayman Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/rainmandigital to pledge.
Jesus Christ, Ryan.
What?
I don't know. I fucking fed into it. It's my fault.
Yeah, you fed me, dude.
Oh, there's a fire. Let me pour kerosene.
Yeah. Let me just help
Ryan
us out.
Ryan is the fire. He is the dumpster you fire. And you are the hobo that found some Look, kerosene.
This is what I do behind this microphone. I try to feed all you guys
You cannot
something.
Throw gas on me. I will ignite.
All right, we're going to go around the room and we're going to rate this, our 1 through 100 for the first three episodes.
Okay.
You can take down points because the first episode was shit. Like, I don't care. Just have reasons on why we rated it, what we rated it. So.
Okay, don't put me first.
All right, I won't put you first. I will go reverse around the room.
I got to pull up the grading thing because I always fucking...
Ryan's the only one that uses, like, the actual rubric.
Well, we created it for a reason.
I also need to go do that. I took no part in that.
I didn't create it.
Someone created it.
All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Now, in our typical Rayman fashion, we are going to go around the room, give our final thoughts, and give our rating for these first three episodes. I am going to start with you, Lauren.
Okay. I'm trying to decide if I want to go lower than 70, because I'm pretty furious about a few things.
Okay, so is it an emotional thing or is it an actual critical thing?
I think it's critical. It's bad writing, I think.
I wanted to make sure this wasn't like I am downgrading you because of
because what, I don't
like spec.
Yeah. No. I'm actually like I'm pissed about that, but at least that won't go anywhere because Arrow's ending and we've got like one episode of Arrow left. So even if he does become a stupid fucking Spectre, which he's obviously going to, at least we'll only see it for an episode and then I can just try to forget that it ever happened. But I have serious problems with the fact that they're cowards and they won't commit to things.
That's always like, I think the biggest issue that we talk about it on a lot of our shows that there's like not a lot of repercussions for anything that happens.
No, there's no point to anything. All of this buildup, all of this, everything that's been going on in two different series. It's been the entire story for those two different shows for Flash and Arrow. The entire story, both of these seasons has been, I'm going to die. So we have to learn to move on and live a life without me. You guys have to be okay without me. You have to accept that I'm going to die because I've accepted it. And that's been the entire fucking story for both shows. And so, one has been arguably better than the other.
So what's your rating? Are we going above or below 70? I think that's where you set your
threshold.
We're
going to do 69. 69.
Sorry.
Steve,
I'm going to give it a 75, a solid 75. As much as the first episode pained me on many levels, I could take Lauren's perspective, and I don't disagree with a lot of what she said, but I could also look at everything around us and go, does any of this matter? We're all here for such a small amount of time.
Oh my God.
Like, does it matter? My God.
Like, what Zen stuff are you smoking over there, sir?
I'm just saying, like, all these human constructs, it doesn't matter.
Are you centered right now?
So
it was.
Did you do yoga without telling me? Like,
entertaining, fuck. But
I was entertained. Were you not entertained?
How much longer can these shows go on if they don't have solid writing with
Well, look, gravity. In my perfect world, Oliver would have lived. Arrow wouldn't have necessarily been canceled, and Flash would have been canceled, even though that's our show. Barry's supposed to disappear, and I would have been okay with Barry disappearing and the whole show disappearing. I would have been okay with that, but I didn't get that. But what I did get was a bunch of Superman action, and I loved the shit out of that. Okay. So,
I actually agree with Steve, and I think the way they...
What?
I do, 100%.
Wait, because we're concluding the show, and he's not trying to get 20 extra minutes out of an argument.
So, I think the thing for me, and I agree with Lauren and Steve, actually... CW don't have any nuts, and it's the CW. They have to cater to a specific group. So I feel like anything with gravity or making a point towards something that is a piece of comic book, I guess you could even say history, to not do it correctly is almost a shame.
Ryan, are they flashpointing this?
Yes. I think so. And if they don't, and it's like I said earlier, if they don't ramp this up in the next two episodes, this will be a complete, in my eyes, failure. There's been some cool shots. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's not been cool shots and cool interactions with characters I like to see interact, but I agree with Steve on the fact that Flash should have disappeared. Flash, what they should have done is disappeared the Flash for a season of Arrow. Arrow stays on, and then you bring Flash back with the time travel. You let it take a year break.
Or at least
break.
Tell that story of Flash.
Yes, and I think there's ways to do it, but the CW has no balls, and they won't do things correctly because they're afraid of scaring away a demographic.
Dude, Flash could have disappeared. The show disappears because there's no need for it. You come back. They wrap that shit up. You let Arrow go for a half season. And Flash comes back, changes something. Arrow disappears, and now the Flash is back on.
Yeah, and I think there's so many ways to do it, and the problem is they're scared of losing a demographic of people. And personally, the reason that I'm going to give the score that I'm going to give is I am so upset with what they did with Stephen Amell's character. Because Stephen Amell is the guy that started this fucking entire thing. And to make him to basically disgrace his character, Oliver Queen, like they did in this so far is in my mind an absolute tragedy. And it really pissed me off because the whole time it's an up and down. I thought, oh, OK, Lazarus Pit, they're going to bring him back. All right. And he's going to finish out this episode, you know, this crisis. And then we might get one episode of Arrow, and then...
Yeah, there's two episodes of Arrow left. There's the backdoor pilot, and then there's Felicity Smoke coming back.
So I personally, I'm going to give this a 60. I mean, I was going to drop it lower.
Well, you said I agree with Steve, and then you dropped 15 points.
Well, I dropped... I agree with his point. Yeah, yeah, I agree with his point. Okay. So, I mean, we all know I don't like Superman. So,
and that was probably the highlight for you on the show.
And that was the weird thing for me. So, but as far as what they did with Oliver, that dropped, I mean, that's enough to drop 15 points in my opinion. As far as and again, I'm not shitting on it, guys, because there was cool shit in this.
There was a lot of really enjoyable stuff. There were a lot of cool moments. There was a lot of really good acting. I don't think any of my problems were with the actors at all. They all did an amazing job. It was all writing for me.
And I agree. And I think for me, and obviously this score could change depending on the last two episodes. Because obviously we just grouped this all into one big thing. Yeah. But so far, it's 60%. Now, could it jump 20 points if they give us a boner fest the next two episodes? Absolutely. But they got to do something.
So dry fart or wet fart for you?
This was a popcorn fart.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I don't. Was that on our Rayman rating? Fucking
fart.
Rubric.
Yeah,
no, if you really want to go off what I gave it a 60, which would put it in. It's a show.
Okay. No, I was.
It's a show.
I know. I was just being.
Paul. You can say you're fine.
I have been entertained. As of right now, I would be willing to rewatch the three episodes that I've seen so far.
Okay.
And honestly might, like, before the other two happen in a month and a half or whatever it is.
The six weeks we have to remember what the hell happened.
And that is, you know, like, that's a factor for me. How this ends is going to be a whole different thing. But as of what I've seen so far, I have not liked some of it. I've liked other parts. I mean, really, just as far as Easter eggs and stuff, it's probably worth rewatching if you care. There's a lot of ways things could go. I don't know. I haven't hated anything, so I'm probably going to go like a 72.
Okay. Nicole?
Well, as someone who never really read the comics, like, I could say that I was mostly entertained, but definitely have some issues, and I definitely agree with Steve's point and Lauren's and basically everyone's point, actually. So, I don't know. The thing that really bothers me is the fact that they really don't have balls. They're not committing to things, especially the things that they've been teasing for ever.
9 years.
9 years. Yes.
6 years for Flash.
Yeah. 6 years. Yeah. All of those years. Damn near a decade. So they really, I definitely feel like they really need to turn it around. But on the plus side, some of the Easter eggs, even the ones that refer to things that I didn't watch or haven't seen before, they were entertaining. And I definitely am now wanting to go watch Batwoman, like, sooner rather than later.
Batwoman is actually surprising. For those who haven't caught up, they have not removed the episodes yet. 1 through 8 was still on there.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's arguably the best of the Arrowverse shows. And,
so, like,
right now,
the plus side out of this is that it makes me really want to go watch Batwoman right now.
There's a lot more to Batwoman than I think anybody's given it credit for. And,
and a disclaimer. Just note, if you're listening and you haven't watched Batwoman yet and you want to give it a shot, suffer through the first half of the first episode. Oh. It's trash. It's really bad. Okay, and I promise you, the rest of the show is not like that.
It bounces.
I'll just fast forward.
Yeah, the first half of the first episode sucks donkey balls.
Yeah.
And then the second half is way better. But keep in mind, that's the pilot episode. They made some changes after that. I promise you, it's not indicative of the whole season.
In fact, like, episode 2 onward is significantly great. Better.
Yeah. So, score? Did you give it, or was I just blacked out there?
No, I'm gonna give it like a 68. Because the issues with the writing specifically killing me. And I really hope they turn it around next time.
Okay. So, I'm straight out going to do this right off. It's a 58 for me.
Oh.
Wow.
The first episode was complete garbage that almost made me want to not watch the rest of the crossover.
Oof.
So when you deal with 1/3 of your TV time to be complete crap, I was surprised to watch the ratings grow as it went on, because I thought it would fall off because it was so disjointed and the writing was so shitty that I thought people were going to watch this and be like, nothing changed on the CW. Let's just go back to watching Masked Singer or whatever else is on television. Now, my issue is we want shows with consequence. I like watching shows on HBO because I know at any given time that somebody could fucking die.
I want something to make me cry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to feel something out of it. Like, when you kill off this, your kind of your patriarch right off the bat, like, this is supposed to be a goodbye to Stephen Amell, a thank you for building this for us, Stephen Amell. And then you take away the character that this man has built for you, built for all these actors to be able to go all around the country. And they created a whole fucking fan fest about him. And they all get to make their $40 to have their 5 second handshake to make all these people somebody. To somebody out there, and to fucking right off the bat be like, hi, Mia, here's your suit. See you later. He did what he was supposed to do. If I calculate properly, he saved 1.3 billion people that ended up dying anyways because Earth 1 disappeared.
Right.
So he did his shit for absolutely nothing. Now, when they went to the Lazarus pit and they were I thought they were going to bring him back, I'm like, perfect. Sarah's redeeming herself because Oliver brought it back. Constantine's doing his thing. We're going to get Lucifer. We're doing this dark side of the shit. I was always wondering how they were going to write it in. And when I thought it was coming back, I was like, all right, I'm down. I felt forlorn. Lawrence wanted this character to be in this universe for as long as I fucking known her. And for them to just be like, oh, here we go. Your eyes are green. You're fucking Spectre now. You're like, oh my God, this is what we're going with. We're not even watching him walk away as Oliver Queen. Again, I don't know what they're going to play out, but this is why I downgraded it. The member berries, those fan service moments don't exactly do everything for me because I try to look through that.
Yep.
Because as a huge fan of things like Smallville, I'm probably one of the only people that watched all 10 seasons of Smallville, mainly because I watched Dawson's Creek and it came on after it. But whatever. Judge me.
Okay, Pacey.
It doesn't matter. It's just like, fucking Dawson and the Creek. Fuck off. I used to buy soundtracks from that shit. Judge me. It's fine. But as much as those like kind of like fan service moments are great, are there, there's so much more. And again, not having any kind of consequences is always the big thing. Lawrence said it, man. We watched Barry mope and dope around being like, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. You guys got to get along without me. I'm sorry, guys. When me and Steve were joking about, man, you better be putting a baby in that fucking wife of yours because you're supposed to have a kid and you're gunned out. So stop
Crisis
saving the world.
Is here. Put that baby inside of her.
And you know what, Bob? Since you brought up the baby not being put in her, the Asian dude, Choi, that guy actually did what we wanted Barry and Iris
exactly.
to do.
When you know something is going on.
All right, I need to change my score.
You can't change the score now.
I was overtaken by nostalgia.
Nope, too late.
But that's the thing. And I think people, like, since the first Star Wars movie of this new trilogy came out and the member berries thing came up on South Park, you do realize that there are things out there that make you feel something. And it's all nostalgia. Yep. It's not necessarily any kind of substance.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I do love the fact that we've linked all these DC universes and it is part of a bigger grand scheme of things. But I know it doesn't mean jack shit. I'm not going to see a nipple Batman show up in fucking Flash in 2 weeks from the 89 universe. I'm not going to see certain things
Wouldn't
fucking
see
happen.
That anyway.
What's yeah,
that?
There was no nipples in 89.
In 89, you fool.
But that's that universe.
No, I don't count those other two movies. Yeah,
they're not canon. They were animated.
Not canon. It was animated. Yep. So,
Ryan,
I think that's the issue I had there because when they're searching for these people and, you know, they started looking for all these virtues, I was like, this is how fucking Diggle's going to get his goddamn ring, where he could fall into that. And why wouldn't Lantern show up? It was just stuff like that that really bothered me when I was watching it. And, you know, Angelica, who couldn't be on the show with us because she's working tonight, the first thing she texts me, she's like, what the fuck did they do with Oliver?
Yep.
Because it's just like, I feel bad for that man.
It was super short, but his just goodbye to Sarah was like, he's like borderline punch drunk. He's like, Sarah, it's okay. Like that, I was super sad with that, honestly. Like that hit me harder, way harder than it should have, because it was like 5 seconds.
But you're dealing with, like, I think when, if you guys have been keeping up with Arrow, you've watched Oliver say goodbye to all these people, whether it was Roy or it was Speedy, you know, as they've done all these like flashback things, and you see Stephen Amell's eyes.
It's been good.
Just glaze over. Like he is really saying goodbye to these people.
This season of Arrow has made me sad that Arrow is ending, because this has been a better, more emotional, more well-acted season on Arrow than I think I've seen on that show in at least 3 seasons.
Yeah.
I think what makes it easier for me listening to you guys talk about it is I no longer follow any of them except for Flash and occasionally Supergirl. And so I don't have the same emotional connection anymore that any of you guys have because you continued to watch them, where I checked out a long time ago because I just got pissed off with the writing. And so for me, those member berries work because I don't have any attachment to the other nonsense.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I liked them, because otherwise, like, if we want to take all those out, and I know that they were definitely there just to be like, please love us because we have been sucking for years now.
Yeah.
I know that's why they put all those in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like without the context, I was just like, I don't even know what's happening here. I just know that Oliver's supposed to be gone after this.
Yeah.
Arrow's treatment of Oliver has been amazing because it's been beautiful, like, homages to different journeys that he's had with different characters, different villains, different allies. And it, from one episode to the next, he kind of, it takes him through a different portion of his life, as we've seen throughout the course of Arrow. And his daughter has become less of a little cunt. And
I still like her. I haven't even seen anything with her until now. And I was like, I don't like her.
Yeah, she has some moments.
For sure.
Was she shitty?
She sucks. Yes. But she's sucks. Like, she. If you don't like her now,
you're not going to like her.
You'll never like her.
You will never like her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because like this is her softened up.
Yes. And I watch Shadowhunters.
Awful.
100% better on that show, so I've determined that it's the writing of her on Arrow.
Not a surprise.
I wanted a death of Superman for Oliver, where everybody's around his casket, and we still might get that.
We got a death of Superman.
Not if he's Spectre, we won't get that.
But you know what I mean? Like I that's what I wanted. I wanted everybody to be around him and say the final goodbyes and thank him.
Yep.
Thank this man who's done this shit for you that took, you know, what was supposed to be a Smallville spinoff and turned it into a whole fucking universe.
Is there a chance that's what the final episode will be and Felicity will be at the funeral?
I
hope so.
I hope so. I hope it's something like that.
She's supposedly making a return.
Yes, in the last episode.
So, but we don't know, like, to what capacity.
Yeah.
She's the Green Arrow.
Shut
up. Oh,
his daughter's
turn off his mic.
Yeah. So
he's done. He's cut off.
Yeah. And again, that's, I think this is, like, my biggest issue with the story. Again, seeing there's so many, like, good parts about it, but I'm rating it low because I wanted this to be Oliver's goodbye.
Yep.
And I just don't feel like we're getting there.
But to be fair, The next episode is the Arrow one, right?
Yeah.
No, Legends and then Arrow.
No, Legends
it's
closes
Arrow
it.
And then Legends.
Oh, yeah. Legends closes it? I thought Arrow closed it.
Nope, Legends is closing it. So
if the Arrow episode isn't all of that.
And a bag of chips.
Yes, and again, we all have the right to reserve when we go to our final thoughts of all five episodes to change our fucking minds. It is allowed. You're not like, oh, this is in stone now. You're fucking stuck with your score. Or why did I go from a 58 to a 93? Well, guess what? Those last two episodes made everything else before this make sense. Now, again, so we'll see how it closes out. I was just a little disappointed in it. And I mean, it is what it is, and I just expected more.
So far, arguably, it's the weakest of all the crossovers, right? I mean, the Nazi one is certainly infinitely better.
I can't argue.
Yeah, I don't think I can either.
I mean, the invasion storyline, the crisis on Earth X. I
at least it felt like there was more impending.
Yeah. And so
an actual consequence.
Yeah.
An actual fighting. Like that's
right.
In this comic series,
we've seen
they're constantly fighting.
Once we saw them at the very end, right. You know, and like, you know, there was no. Did anybody care that he took over Layla?
No.
Nope. No,
didn't give a shit.
That was always supposed to happen.
I know, but it's still it was just like a non-impactful, like kind of
didn't care
thing.
Yeah.
Did not care.
I don't know. That's my thoughts on this all. That's probably going to do it for this Crisis Edition. Thank everybody for coming in. Thank everybody for listening all year with us as we go through all these shows. We really do love these things no matter what we say, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be fucking watching them. We're just very critical.
We also wouldn't be so emotional about them if we didn't care about them.
Yeah.
We'd just be like, I don't know, it was dumb. I don't like it. Anyway.
Yeah. So.
No, I want the best for these characters. They are my babies and you will treat them with respect and get them into Ivy League colleges.
Yes. And my daughter could definitely date a better person than whatever's putting on screen or whatever. Yeah. You're judging everything that's going on here. Thanks to everybody for listening to us. Thanks to all my hosts that follow my lead for this whole fucking year. Cause this will be our last episode of the year. And if you want to catch any of those past episodes or you want to see what we're doing in the future, go to DCOnRMD.com. Find us on all our social medias. Tell us what you think. What is your rating for the crossover? We want to hear from you and maybe we'll include you in the next show. So with that, have a good year and have a good holiday break. And we will see you then.
Mother of God, would you look at the time when you came here? You had an hour.